So as soon as he gets off, get him on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Season 3 of Scary Cast. This is Dr. John. Special episode today. We are excited to have the Hominology team. What a great group of people. We've got Dr. Igor Burtsev. We've got Janice Carter and Robin McCrae. They're going to be with us. I've got a couple of announcements. They're very interesting, and I hope you'll like them. First of all, Scary Cast will be at Horror Hound in Indianapolis, Indiana, later this week. We'll be there for 3 days, thanks to the She Squatchers for putting us up at. We will have two brand new books that everyone should get a copy of. First is Look Up in the Sky, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies. That's going to be a big one. It's got a lot of great things. It's got scientific articles. We've got experiencer stories. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And then we've got, of course, Bigfoot Explorers and Introduction to Hominology by Dr. John, me, by Dr. Igor Burtsev, and by Robin McCrae. And it's going to be a great, they're great books. Please get copies of them. You can go to Amazon.com and just search for them, and you can find them. So we got a lot of great things going on. Just so glad to have everyone here with us. First of all, I want to say hello and greetings to Robin McCrae. How are you doing today, Robin?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. We're so glad to have you. You got a lot of great things to talk about in terms of mind speak and everything else. So just glad to have you. Janice Carter, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Well, you're an author, you're an experiencer, you're a mind speak practitioner, and we're so glad to have you. And Dr. Igor Burtsev will be here with us in just a second. So I want to, first of all, you know, I've introduced you, and I want to talk to you about what you do in terms of the mind speak community and with Bigfoot. Bigfoot's the name I use. You know, maybe some people use Sasquatch or the forest people. I like to use Bigfoot because that's what they are. That's what I felt like they were with when I had my experience. So we'll start with Robin first. So what's going on with the Bigfoot community and MindSpeak? What's happening?
Well, hopefully people are starting to be a little bit more open to it. It's been taboo for a long time. People don't want to acknowledge it or really accept the fact that it's there. I think it's something that we've all been able to do. We've just been taught that we can't, which slows it down. But it is part of the way they communicate. They also communicate with language, which Janice will go in more in depth with that as well, as will I. But it's a way they communicate with people. And mind speak comes in many forms. It's not just a voice in your head. It can be, you know, a picture, a feeling, a thought that just randomly comes into your mind that you never knew was there. And it's something that we all are capable of, but you've got to open yourself to being able to do it. And most people that are around the Bigfoots or the forest people for long periods of time will experience this. Janice has done it since she was a small child, as I have. Many people that are out there, whether or not they all admit to it is a different story, but it is something that is hand in hand with the forest people, as well as their own language, and then they can also speak in our language.
Right, and when you talk about the forest people, you're not talking about just Bigfoot, are you?
No, I mean, any of your hybrids, any of your cryptids, heck, Janice and I mind speak with the animals. I mean, you can do it with anything. Once you are able to mind speak, you can pretty much mind speak with anything. I've mind spoke with my husband before. So, I mean, it's just something that is, the more that you do it, the more it grows, the more you're able to do it.
Yeah, and mind speak has to do with communicating. It's what we would call nonverbal communication. And you
exactly.
can sit and hear thoughts. And as I mentioned to you in The Shining by Stephen King, there's a particular passage where Dick Halloran, the manager of, and this is in the movie The Shining, he speaks with Danny, the young boy, and he tells him, you know, you can hear me. I used to have conversations like this with my grandmother. And when I did, no one could hear us, but we had complete conversations. And that
exactly.
is something that I believe that everyone really can do, correct?
Absolutely. We have been programmed and taught that it does not exist. I mean, we've been really dumbed down by the powers that be to believe that we're not capable of these things. And we really and truly are. Whereas with the forest people, this is just one more way for them to communicate. And this is why we stress that they are a people. They have language. Okay? They have their own language. They have our language. You know, wherever they happen to be at, they can adapt to that language. And this is just one more way of communication.
Wow. That's impressive. Because, yes, everyone, every race does have a language. Now, Janice, we were talking about the fact that you have done mind speak. So you were a little child. You were involved with that great book, 50 Years of Coexistence with Bigfoot. So tell us about your experiences with mind speak, if you don't mind, please.
Well, the first time that I can remember mind speaking, I was very little, and it wasn't with Bigfoot. It was actually with my cat. I had an old tomcat that my grandfather had cats up at the barn. And this cat came in, and it was wanting me to follow it and play around this that bush that my grandmother had in the yard. I called it a switch bush because she used it to give me a switchings with. She'd whip me with a switch.
Old-fashioned, right?
Old-fashioned. Spare the rod, spoil the child. She didn't believe in that. But the cat wanted me to follow him around this bush, and then he said that there was a bird in the bush that he wanted me to help him catch. Well, of course, I couldn't help him catch this bird. There wasn't any way. But he was going around and around the bush and then led me out into the yard and was told me that I was to get down and crawl on all fours and sneak up on it. And that's the first time I remember mind speaking with anything.
And it was very clear to you that the cat was directly talking to you, correct?
Yes, directly talking to my mind. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Right. Well, now we want to introduce our good friend, Dr. Igor Burtsev. Igor, how are you doing today?
Hello,
Dr. Burtsev, how are you?
Hello.
Hello. Yes. How are you doing today?
I'm Igor Burtsev. Yes. Is it John? Hello.
Yes, this is John.
Oh, yes. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for being with us. We're always honored to have you here. You're one of the great researchers in Bigfoot in the world, and you are over here from Russia, and you have directed many wonderful research efforts on Bigfoot. And so tell us, if you don't mind, what have you been working on recently? What is your most recent research topic?
Okay. Oh, it's so wide my field of research that it is difficult to answer, but I will try.
Sure.
Look, the two words about the evolution of the attitude to this creature, just some preface, that in 20th century, we were looking for evidence, for physical evidence, material evidence, of so-called missing link of the human evolution. That means we did not know what are these creatures. We just looking for footprints, some other remains, for example, bones, carcasses or skulls of this creature. But mostly the researchers thought that it is just an ape or subhuman, or some previous species before human evolution is like so. But on the edge of the centuries, we start to receive new data, new stuff, new signs of their human capabilities, human abilities, human essence of their of them, who they are. We start to understand. For example, we have found some made by handmade things, structures, wooden structures, some handicrafts, some drawings, some other things, and even we start to receive the information that they can speak human languages. The first was Janice Carter. She absorbed a family of the Bigfoots on her property after her grandfather, who found in the forest such a creature, yes? And she communicated with them for more than 30 years, and she afforded that these creatures, Bigfoots, can speak on human languages. We did not believe it, but after we start to study this, and even we receive a confirmation by the devices. For example, this Scott Nelson, cryptolinguist, who was military cryptolinguist, he started the records of their sounds and came to conclusion that they can speak human languages. This is what was very big change of our attitude to this creature. We start to understand that they are also humans, and I personally started to call them adjacent humans. In Russian it was more suitable, more good pronunciation, yes. But here we also start to use such words as, for example, if we have the humanity, humankind means all our society on the world. We start to call them hominkind. They are existing parallel alongside of the humans, alongside of the humanity of the humankind. They have their own hominkind. We call them hominoids. Hominoid, it is Latin term because all the species on the earth are named with Latin words, Latin names, after Linnaeus, great Carl Linnaeus, who set up this system of all the species in the earth. That is why we started to call it hominoid. Latin name. It does mean just that they are human-like. And new science arose, the hominology. Hominology means the science about hominoids. That means living bipedal species adjacent to humans. This is the essence of this hominology science. And we are hominologists, we are studying this subject. After we start to, for example, me, especially me, I started since 2002 study these structures, what they make with their hands in the forest. Their wooden structures, stick structures, they broken trees, broken and twisted trees, etc., etc. Since that time, that means some 17 years, I studied this and I found a lot of handmade structures in the forest, as in Russia, so in North America, and in Mongolia, where I was in the expedition, and the other Asian countries like Kazakhstan or some other country. Tajikistan now is separate of Russia, also Asian countries. We found such things in many places. And it is a good sign of the existing of that territory. It was one turn of our research. May I continue? What is our hello?
Hello.
Yes,
hello,
Joan.
Yes, we're here. You, absolutely.
Keep
yes.
speaking.
Can I continue? Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Please do.
After another turn appeared, that we start to understand that this creature not only similar to humans, they're not only adjacent humans, but they own such a, extra abilities or superhuman abilities, that paranormal abilities. They can telepathize, they can telekinesis, they know telekinesis, they also teleportation, they can be invisible. We started to understand that these creatures are very, very not easy. They're even not as adjacent humans, but superhumans, because they have such a paranormal ability. They start for example, case happened near Moscow. One woman called us and said that her daughter said she was old woman, 74 years old, former mathematician teacher in the school. Just once in the garden, she was doing some ploughing the soil, etc. Some noise. She turned her head and see a big creature, about 9 feet tall. He was brown. He was covered with brown hair, and he was standing just on her property of that vegetable garden. And after, when she saw him, he started to disappear on her eyes, just disappearing, starting with head, as some curtain start to go down from up to down, and it start to disappear. His head, after his chest, his body disappeared. Only one leg yet was existing, seen. After this leg also disappeared. It did not move. It just disappeared on her eyes. This is one of the case. Another case was registered by us in Siberia. One artist went to the forest, took one bark of the birch tree for making some handicrafts and drawing. And he was an artist. He was a veteran of Afghanistan. He sees that this is one creature, big one, about 3 meters high, maybe 10 feet. He felt that it is necessary just to sit down together with this creature, because he invited, that creature invited him to sit and to communicate. But they were communicating without sound, just mind speaking, as you say, mind speaking. And it communication was long, some about 40 minutes. And finally, this artist asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, answered with sound, with just speaking, Taban. Also such a case. And after it just disappeared as in first case. And at the same time, it was in 2015, both cases. And third cases was, I was camping with my friends not far of Moscow, 100 kilometers, that means 70 miles of Moscow. We were in the forest, we had a car, and we had the camera up in the roof, on the roof of the car. And this game camera was shooting all the night till 4 o'clock, till 4 a.m., it was nothing suspicious after, as we see. But at 4 o'clock, just a shadow appeared behind our tent. This was a silhouette, some dark silhouette. One such a creature, as we suppose, was sitting behind our tent and not moving a little, just a little, a small movement. For 1 hour, this camera shot him, was shooting him, some 27 or 25 pictures, and some 7 short videos by 15 seconds each one. And this time, when we saw after, we did not understand. We were walking around on our tent. We were preparing the campfire there, etc. But we did not see this creature. And the camera, game camera, made his picture, as we understood later. When we came home, we saw on this video, it's silhouette. It's what one of our specialists enhanced that video, and he could see some kind of face and also one hand moving. Yes, that means these two cases previous, what I said about that woman, Valentina, her name was Valentina, and this artist, Andrei, this camera confirmed that they can be invisible. They can be not visible by people, by humans, but camera could catch them. That is why we now understand. And when I come here in last time in 2018, I visited Robin's house here, and her husband, Ted, found the handprint on the pillow next to his bed, just inside of the bedroom. And I saw that handprint. It was white color on the black surface. Yes. It was very interesting that different of the human hand. It had shorter fingers and more long the palm. Yes. After that, another case happened. They found the footprint in their bathroom, and third time they found the handprint on their glass of the window inside of the bedroom. It was very, very astonished, yes, and unnatural, as we say. But it was fact. That is why I came back to this house, the house of the of Robin and Pat, and also I told about such a development to Janice Carter. I was acquainted with her before, since the 2004, when I visited her property in Tennessee, and I we came with her to this house on last year, on last August or previous year or September, that I made them acquainted, Janice and Robin, and now they continue this work together. This together, and I also attended this research. That is why we started to produce this project, Hominology in Action, or Hominology, International Hominology for Forest People. We call them forest people, this creature, not apes. And that is why I'm here yet. If you have a question, please.
You know, Igor, it's amazing what you just told us. You have given a wonderful synopsis of what you are here, what you are doing, and about basically the study of hominology. It's a real privilege to have you here and talking about this. And I will say to everybody that you will be at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference October 18th through the 20th. You'll be at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference October the 25th through the 27th. And you will be at, believe it or not, the UWARI Bigfoot Conference, which will be the next week, which will be November the 3rd. That's going to be a legendary conference out there in UWARI National Forest. And we wouldn't have anybody other than the three of you, Dr. Igor Burtsev, Janice Carter, and Robin McCray, and Pat McCray will be there too. We're going to have such a wonderful cast at UWARI and in Tennessee, in Kingsport, Tennessee, at Bays Mountain, on top of the mountain, and of course in Clayton, Georgia, at the Raven County Civic Center. So we are privileged to have you here. And by the way, I'll go ahead and talk about some current events. We're getting ready to have a hurricane. Hurricane Dorian is getting ready to slam into the coast of South Carolina. So by the kind invitation of Robin Cray, I'm going to be coming over there and visit, and we'll probably do at least one more podcast. Igor, is that okay? We'll do another podcast when I get over there, shutting down and hunkering down from the hurricane. Would you, you'll do that with us?
Hello. Yes, I'm happy to take part in your event because I'm interested to share with other people of my knowledge about creatures, these creatures, and about our study, about our doing all with this to study this subject.
Well, thank you very much, and we look forward to working with you to get this information out, because the more we get the information out, the better it is. Now, Robin, I'm going to talk to you about a subject we discussed a couple of months back, and this may be a surprise to you, but I've got some interest recently. You told me, now, and I hope you don't mind me asking this, but you told me that you had either a vision or you saw a group of Bigfoot sitting there meditating and talking. Basically, they were holding a church, correct?
Yeah, but I'm trying to trying to remember. You're breaking up a little bit. But yeah, I remember.
They were holding church. And they were talking about the fact that because they are people too, they have a belief in Jesus, correct?
Well, they believe in Creator, which is God, which is basically what we do. I mean, I can't say it's actually a church. What they did when I saw them, and they did this years ago as well at my home in Michigan, and they would gather, and it really was like they all gathered to pay respect for Creator, which is basically what we do when we go to church. So that's,
okay.
You know, that's why I said it's kind of like they were at church, because that's what they do. And they would do this several times. I mean, during the week, it wasn't like they, you know, we go on Sundays to church, but it was, they would gather. And I was here one night and they were showing me mental pictures of them doing that again.
I should add a little that I made the acquaintance with Jenny, with Robin's home there in Michigan. And I visited there three times for some 2 months each time. And we found a lot of signs of the forest people there acting. Sorry for my English.
No, that's all right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. Continue, please.
Well, what I can tell you is that I have spoken with a gentleman actually today, and he goes by the name the Gothic Mystic, and he was very intrigued at this fact. And we are going to have him on ScaryCast. And I hope we will have him on ScaryCast before Igor leaves back for Russia. And we're going to talk about the religious aspect, something that I don't think has ever been really discussed. We're going to talk about the religious aspect and how, of course, the fact that the hominids are, they're part human. And they have a belief.
And they're very spiritual. And I know
exactly.
Jan has witnessed that a lot.
And I think it's going to be crazy. It's going to be wonderful. Yes, Janice, what were you going to say, please?
Okay, I keep notes on everything that they've ever told me. And I have their first world, the creation, according to them, right here in my hand right now. I just went and dug it out.
We're speechless. That's wonderful. Well, I'll tell you what, when I come down there, can you show that to me, and can we have a little conversation with the Gothic? I think he's going to be extremely excited when we show this. And this is an entirely new dynamic that has never been discussed with the Bigfoot community.
Well, I think it all piles into the fact that these are people. I mean, they're different from us, yes, but they're just another kind of people.
Right, because in Janice's article that I have a copy of, and we actually have in Bigfoot Explorers and Introduction to Hominology, Janice, you talk about, you have an essay about the language of Bigfoot. Can you tell us just a little bit about that today?
About their language?
Yes.
Well, for many years on the farm, I would follow them around with a little teeny tiny note tablet that my grandfather, we used to call them pocket notebooks, those just for writing notes down in or telephone numbers or whatever. And I would follow them around and I would hear a word. So I would run back to my grandfather and ask him if he knew what it meant. And if he didn't know what it meant, I would run out to the male of the group, who we called Fox, run out to him and ask him what it meant. I mean, this carried on for years. One of the last words that I asked him, I was measuring a field off with rope. And he pointed to the rope, me and my sister were. He pointed to the rope, and he said, "Okla." And I'm like, "What?" You know. And it took me several minutes to catch on what he was doing, because he kept pointing to the rope. And I said, "Oh, rope. Yes, Okla," is what he says. So their word for rope is Okla. this was a this is a total been a learning experience. They have their own language, although they can speak English or Spanish too, in other dialects.
The ones in Moscow spoke Russian.
Yeah.
When I was in Siberia,
other,
they spoke Russian.
Other American First Peoples dialects. They are multi-talented when it comes to language, but they do have their very own language. They vocalize quite often, especially when they're aggravated with you or with each other. or if they are trying to locate, they will holler out, you know, say, for instance, a who, as in who are you or where are you or what are you doing, you know, and it carries for a very long distance because when they talk, they bring it from the diaphragm. They don't bring it from the throat or from the mouth like we do. It's brought up from the diaphragm, which is there in the center of your chest. And therefore, their voice, vocal voice, is either really like a baritone, a deep, deep baritone. And the females can actually, they can get up so high pitched that you can barely hear the sound. It's a vibrating sound. It's like an elephant with the, I can't think of the name of what that is now. Robin, help me out here.
I don't know what the terminology of it is. It's just extremely high pitched. The range that they have, we absolutely cannot copy. We can't.
It's just off the charts for a human to be capable of
for
making
our type human anyway.
Making talking at this level, this deepness or this high. And
our vocal cords don't have that range.
No. And with the teaching, I have my own recordings of them talking. You play it, and you let them go ahead and talk. They will slow their speech for you if you ask them to. And speaking English, they can speak pretty clear in English, although they have backwards sentence structure. Instead of saying, who are you, you know, they might say, are you who, or, you know, or for instance, do you want goodwill? Okay, instead of saying, do you want goodwill, they would say, goodwill you want? And it's a question, it's a backwards question from what we actually speak ourselves. I'm trying to think here. I mean, they communicate very well. And if they don't get your attention by vocally communicating, then they go back to mind speaking with you. And some of them come across very strong when they mind speak, while other ones are gentle and it doesn't affect you or make you dizzy or make you sick to your stomach. And I've had all of this go on with my personal self. I'm sure that Robin has had this happen when mind speak. It's a lot better. It's a lot better if you can understand them. But in order to understand them at their fast speech, they don't recognize a period at the end of the sentence. They don't recognize the pause at the end of a paragraph. They read the entire book at once.
It's a giant run-on sentence
with no pause, no him or hawing in it. It's get it out as fast as you can and say what you need to say.
And when they're speaking with you, they have no patience. They can have patience like crazy out in the woods when they're trying to be real stealth and quiet so you can't find them. But when they're speaking with you, everything is an emergency. Everything has to be said right then and there.
Yeah, they don't give you time to put a word in edgewise until they've said what they have to say. So when I record them, at their own level of speech, their own fastness of speech. It's like taking a 72 record, and I'm going to go into old vinyl records, and recording at that speed, then having to slow it down to a 33.
to actually
in order
be able
to understand
listen to
it.
Yeah. Exactly.
In order to actually understand what is being said to you. And I do this with a recorder. I've had a 3-speed recorder for many, many years. It's now lost in the shuffle and bustle of trying to get reestablished and moved. But I will record them at speed 3 and slow it down to speed 1 so that I can understand what they're saying, especially ones that are not a part of the old family group, because it's very hard for me to get the other ones to slow their speech down to I can catch words, I can catch phrases, but I don't catch every word that's said.
Gotcha. Well, that's very interesting, Janice. I mean, your description of this is something that many people do not know, myself included, and we really appreciate you explaining a little bit about the Bigfoot language, and this is something that we do want to talk with you about more. So when I come down there, you know what, thanks to the hurricane, I'll be down there with the three of you, and we'll have some more time to talk about it. So, Janice, will you tell us a little bit more about it? Absolutely, it's going to be the Bigfoot hurricane. So, Janice, will you tell us a little more about it when I get down there and we run Hominology Part 2? Will you do that, please?
Oh, certainly.
Great.
I do want to say something in regards to the language when you're done, Jan.
I was going to say, for instance, okay, when I came down here and I played some recordings for Robin, and I, the way I do it, and it's the same, I think, when we go into telepathing or mind speaking, it's best if the person simply closes their eyes and imagine a foreign speaking person that, say, for instance, a man from China or a woman from China coming over, and their language is rapidly spoken. Imagine them coming over here and speaking English in our country at that fast pace. And don't think of them as big hairy creatures, monsters, or anything like that. Think of them as human and start listening when you close your eyes for the English words. You don't have to pick out the entire sentence. Just pick out a couple of words in the sentence when they say it.
Okay.
And Robin's caught on very well.
Well, Janice,
what you
can do is, you know, when we listen to some of these things, Janice, you can start pointing out, you can say there, and we'll remember and understand what we heard. So that's going to be wonderful. That's going to be an incredible, incredible experience for the Scarycast listeners and the listeners on International Hominology on Facebook. So thank you very much for letting us know that you have some recordings, and we really, really look forward to having you speak with us about them. Now, I want to return back. Is Dr. Igor there? Igor, are you with us?
Igor,
are you with us?
We might have lost him. I'm not sure.
Well, that's
The thing I wanted to say real quick, John, about the language,
yeah.
Igor was actually, we've had a lot of activity going on here, which we for some time. It's not anything new. It's just, it is what it is. It's the normal. Igor was sitting in the dining room, and he's kind of set up camp in my dining room as his little personal office, which is perfectly fine. It works out great. He has his own
great
room, but he does have everything set up in the dining room. And he was actually sitting there one day, and he heard them outside the window talking. They were chattering. They were in their language, but he heard them. And he came and he asked everyone, you know, were you outside speaking? It was nobody here. You know, I mean, it wasn't. And where we're at, it's quite peaceful back here, and there's not a lot of people that are sitting outside my window. But he heard them as well. And I think a lot of people probably have heard them, and they don't realize that they've heard them. Because they used to, for years, and even back when I was little, they would sit outside my window, and I'd hear them at night. And they would be in their language, which went so fast, it was like listening to somebody talking gibberish, you know. you would occasionally pick up a word here or there, but for the most part it was in their language. But he actually experienced that after he got here as well, when he was here working one morning. And then we've had just this huge amount of activity. And Janice, I have a security camera outside, and it was never out there to catch the forest people. That was not the intent of it. It was literally out there so I could get the deer at night. And we ended up getting a capture on a security camera of one sitting on my porch.
Yeah, and the other one's climbing on the cars.
On the cars, and they're walking in between the cars. And the ones going in between the cars are a little bit blurry. But the one on the porch, you cannot miss them. And I went the following night, and I sat in the same spot on the porch. And looking at it through the security camera, you couldn't tell I was there. So this being was massive that was sitting on the porch, because it was big, black, and stuck out like a sore thumb. You could not, absolutely could not miss it. So it was quite interesting.
And I'll tell you what, for anyone that doubts what you're talking about, I was there about a month and a half ago with one of my best friends, Rob Kellum, who's Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. We saw incredible activity in your yard. And
yeah,
nobody can replace what we saw. We saw trees shaking with no wind going on. I saw a whitish shadow in your backyard. I looked up, there was nobody shining a flashlight. It was unbelievable. So there is truly activity there. We know what's going on. And then it was interesting, about 3 weeks ago, I had my experience, which was, Robin and Janice, may I share my experience with everybody?
Sure.
Because it was the most frightening thing I have ever gone through. And I can tell you this, if someone ever tells you they have an experience with a UFO or a cryptid, if they don't admit that they were absolutely terrified, they did not have that experience. Because I'll tell you what, this was unbelievable. I was in Clayton, Georgia, at a very close friend's Airbnb cabin. He's got a wonderful cabin, and he lets me stay there at a good rate because I stay there all the time. I went there. I got there at 11 o'clock p.m. I walked in. I was absolutely exhausted. I threw everything, you know, my bag and everything on the bed, and I just sat there trying to catch my breath because, yes, I had probably worked about 20 hours that day. Sat there, and all of a sudden I heard a rustling on the left-hand side of the cabin. Now, this cabin is only about 15 feet by about 30 feet. It's not that big of a cabin. It's something that he built on several cinder blocks. So, you know, it's just a nice little place to rent and everything. So I'm sitting there. And I heard this thing. I said, well, it's probably, I don't know, a fox or a squirrel or whatever. And all of a sudden, I felt something slam into that cabin unlike I had ever felt. It slammed into it. The bed jumped off the floor, and I said, oh, my God, this can't be happening to me. I didn't know what it was, but I said, this cannot be happening to me. And then I heard the footsteps. And I know what a footstep of a dog is, or a, you know, a fox or whatever. Those animals do not have very large feet. And it's like, you know, you can tell the difference between that and the difference between a small foot, and, you know, of a dog or a fox, and the large 12 to 18 inch impression of a Bigfoot. I knew what was going on. I said, oh my God, I am about to die, because this door here could be opened by a 4 year old. I was absolutely terrified. I didn't know what to do. I was so scared. And then the Bigfoot walked from the middle of the left hand side to the corner, and it stopped. And I knew one thing. I was scared, and I was not going to go out and see what it was. Number two, I looked at my phone, because Robin, I was going to call you, because you're kind of my guide to things. And I looked at my phone, It was down to 17%. And I said, oh, I need to charge it. Oh, no, my charging equipment is in my car outside. I'm not going outside. I cannot make a phone call in case I need to call a 911 emergency number. So I tell you what, I was petrified. Now, Robin, you and I had a conversation the next morning. And do you remember, what do you mind sharing some of the things that you told
me? Well, I spoke with the forest person, and he had said that he meant you no harm. He just wanted to make sure that you were staying inside that cabin, that they were doing a ritual or ceremony with the young boy.
Oh, I'm going to stop you right there. There was no doubt that I was never going outside. No doubt. Oh, dear God.
Yeah, and they told me, they said that, you know, it was his first hunt. He was hunting for the first time, and it was a ritual. And I said to Janice, I said, okay, which ritual are we talking about this time, you know? And she said, well, there is a ceremony where they take them out for their first hunt, you know, and that's probably what they were doing. And they were doing what they were called counting coup, which is where they stay cloaked and they have to run up and actually touch a human while cloaked. But in your case, they just wanted you to stay put so he could get his first kill.
Oh, they didn't have to worry about that. They were effective. and I was complying to the utmost, okay?
Yeah, but they had no intention of hurting you. They just wanted you to stay put. You just came in at the wrong time. They didn't anticipate you coming. I think, if I remember correctly, you came later in the evening. So they
very
really
much
did
later.
Not anticipate. Yeah, they did not anticipate you being there at all, because as it got later in the evening, they thought, okay, nobody's here. It won't be a problem. And then right in the middle of him getting his first kill is when you showed up, and they were like, oh, no, now you're locked in a box because you're not coming out.
Yeah, and
that
they do
exactly
call our
right.
houses boxes.
Yeah. Yeah, we live in boxes.
Well, now, it's very interesting you say that, and this is a topic that I want to discuss later. I was up in Cherokee, and I met some of the wonderful members of the Cherokee tribe. And I don't know if you're aware of this, and a lot of people that are listening will not know this, but the Cherokee do not live in teepees. They build they built cabins, and or as a lady told me, they built boxes. So it's very interesting that they use the term box and the Cherokee use the same term. So I've got several people up there in the Cherokee Nation where we just ran the Cherokee Comic-Con that are, you know, would like to talk about this. So again, more great research into hominology and our Native American culture. So it's just wonderful. But anyway, I got to say thank you so much for clarifying what happened to me. I was scared to death, and they made sure, you know what, they wanted, all they had to do was say, don't come out. I would have not come out. But when you,
would you have understood them?
I don't know. And maybe I would have, but I tell you what.
I don't
great.
Know, but I want to point out, and I'm sorry if I'm like saying things I shouldn't, but you, Dr. John, are now getting mind speak a little at a time now as well.
Yes.
And you and I have talked
yes.
about this, so you're starting to get it too.
Yes, I am, and it's really kind of wonderful to get these I get what I would call encapsulated ideas. It's like I receive something, it's like the whole thing is formed, and I go to it. And it works.
Yeah.
So all I've got to say is thank you
and
Janice and the Bigfoot community for you know, taking me in and speaking to me and helping me progress forward in this wonderful journey that we all have. So I guess what I want to say is we've had our first episode, season three of Bigfoot and, well, actually not Bigfoot and Company. This is Scarycast. We have so many podcasts. Our first episode of Scarycast, and it has been wonderful talking with Dr. Burtsev, with Janice Carter, and with Robin Haynes. Great. And it's been wonderful. We've learned a lot. And when I come down there, thanks to the hurricane, look, I can't appreciate the hurricane even more. you know, then I'm going to come down there and we're going to do another one and we're going to talk more about these incredible topics that people need to hear about. Janice, are you okay with that? Are you going to be with us?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. I don't think I'm going anywhere with this.
I'm not letting her go
good,
anywhere.
Good.
We may have
yes.
her.
Will you be? Good.
I'm happy to be here and to work together with these two very famous women, Bigfoot researchers and eyewitnesses.
I think we drive them crazy.
well, Robin, you better drive them crazy.
Yeah.
Robin, you'll be there with us because it's your house, and you'll let me stay there, so it's going to be great. And now
we're all ready for you, Dad.
Good.
And I'm ready.
To finish.
Thankful to them. Yes. I'm thankful to them.
Igor, yeah. I would love for you to tell us the last message for tonight's broadcast on Scarycast for about hominology and everything. I'm sure you have one more great story to tell us. I'm to turn the microphone over to you. And thank you so much. We are so grateful to have you here and to have you talk to us about it. So, Igor, tell us a story tonight that we won't forget, okay?
One more story. What?
Yes.
One more short story before we're off air.
Okay. I shall tell about
the playground structures.
I'll tell about one case when I was in Robin's house property in Michigan. That was where three persons there, and we were. It was last very late evening, about 10 p.m. It was dark, and I was looking for the place where our feeding pot was, feeding bucket was for them. And I saw the eyes moving along the brushes, line of brushes, over the brushes, on the height of about 8-9 feet over the ground. And this shining eyes went into the small forest. And after I paid attention to one raccoon who was trying to steal our food from the feed bucket, tried to photograph him. But after my two friends from here, from Americans, ran to me and said, "Haven't you seen it?" I say, "No." What he went out of the woods just close to you, about 20 feet away, but stopped and after turned and got back to the forest. I said, "Oh, it was raccoon who this was attracted my attention to himself." And that is why I could not see the Bigfoot.
He was watching. Igor
was
watching for him.
Out of the. Yes, he was coming to my direction. It was open place there, and he was standing there. And after turned and got back, that was very funny story. That was. There were other stories here also. Yeah. What?
They tried to tell Igor, but they couldn't yell to Igor to say, "Turn around, there's a forest person behind you." And they couldn't yell because it would have scared him away.
Yes. I suppose that raccoon was their spy, the spy of this Bigfoot who was sent him to distract
my
attention.
He was right up behind Igor.
Yeah. This was just a funny story. Okay.
Well, that's great, Igor. Thank you. I've got to say it was a complete privilege to have the three of you on here for the season premiere of Scarecast Season 3, Hominology Part 1. And we will have Hominology Part 2 and hopefully Hominology Part 3.
During the hurricane.
That's right. Thanks to the hurricane, I get to be there and I get to hang out with you guys. And we'll have a lot of great things.
A hurricane Bigfoot party.
That's exactly what we're going to have.
Once I was in Missouri in one place, and the tornado was there. I was going to the place where the people are gathered to help them, their medical service, etc. I also helped them. That was my last year. When I was moving here, also the hurricane happened here. That is why I was waiting in Janice Carter's living place for several days, and after came here. And now again, this hurricane is coming to us. It is already.
That's right, Igor. Yeah. The hurricane is good news for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first hurricane Bigfoot party.
See you,
Hurricane Bigfoot. That's right.
Good luck. Good luck to your program, to our program also, to our common program. Thank you.
That is right. So first of all, thank you to all three of you, to Dr. Igor Burtsev, to Janice Carter, and to Robin Haynes McCray. I cannot thank the three of you enough for being on to grace this first episode of Scarecast Season 3, Hominology Part 1. We'll have Hominology Part 2 and 3 when I get down there. Thank you, Hurricane Dorian. I'm the only person to thank Hurricane Dorian that I get to come down there and hang out with you guys. So we'll see you soon. And ladies and gentlemen, we hope you've enjoyed this wonderful episode of Scarecast. Thank you so much. And guess what? We'll see you again soon.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Love you guys a lot.
Bye. Good luck. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
I